You're listening to SBS News.
The Group of Seven Summit is probably best known for awkward photo opportunities and tense handshakes between the leaders of seven of the world's most powerful countries. Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United States and the United Kingdom will be represented. But the fact that Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison has been invited to this year's G7 event in Biarritz in southern France is significant. Russia was once a member of the group, then called the G8, but was suspended indefinitely in 2014 following the annexation of Crimea. Dr. Emma Shortis is an international relations expert from RMIT University in Melbourne. She told SBS News she doesn't believe Australia is being groomed as Russia's replacement.
That is quite an extraordinary thing to think about, Australia replacing Russia. Look, I think Australia prides itself on punching above our weight in those kind of international forums, you know, especially we've played a big role in the G20. I think it's significant that Australia's been invited to attend as a kind of observer this time round. I would be surprised, though, I think, if we saw an invitation into the G7. It's a pretty closed group. It's pretty exclusive. It's being criticised for exactly that fact.
Dr. Shortis says the invite is, however, a sign of the importance of Australia's relationship with the United States, especially as tensions flare over the trade war with China.
And we've had US officials here just recently essentially asking Australia to choose between the United States and China. So I think this will be, it's really significant for Australia in that sense to continue those discussions and to tread quite carefully when it comes to this trade war.
There's certainly plenty to discuss, not just the deteriorating trade relations between the US and China, but also Hong Kong, Brexit and climate change are likely to appear on the agenda. The presence of two of world politics' most colourful characters, US President Donald Trump and UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, is likely to attract much of the world's attention. The senior advisor for Europe at the International Institute for Strategic Studies, Francois Aisbourg, says he'll be watching with interest and a little trepidation.
The combination of two personalities who are not well known for their self-control is indeed going to be an unprecedented occasion. They will probably get along like a house on fire, or they will pretend to. Whether this will be simply a sideshow which will create some distraction and possibly even amusement is one thing, but if it actually gets into the way of the more substantive proceedings, that would be another story. But it is, these two together are a political nitroglycerin.
Mr. Trump walked out of the last G7 in Canada and instructed his officials not to sign the official communique, throwing the summit into disarray. This time round, he's understood to be unhappy that France's Emmanuel Macron wants climate change to be one of the issues under discussion. Dr. Shortis says Mr. Trump's talk of inviting Russia back into the group is just one sign of the way he feels about the G7.
Trump likes to shake up the G7. He doesn't really like it as a forum. He's had some interesting experiences there before. So I think this, you know, raising the possibility of Russia coming back into what would be the G8 is his way of kind of shaking things up before he gets there and asserting his dominance.
Inequality is the theme of this year's summit, so the gender pay gap, poverty and opportunities for young people will feature on the agenda. But that worthy theme has not stopped protesters from setting up camp on both sides of the French-Spanish border near Biarritz ahead of the summit. The protesters, like this French yellow vest protester Michel Ramonbord, say they want to see freedom.
Maintenant, on arrive à un stade.
We are at a stage where this capitalism, we can't take it anymore. We don't want this capitalism. What we want is to live in peace, united, in fraternity, as equals, and in particular, to be free. A freedom that we don't have today.
Surtout dans la liberté qui nous est supprimée aujourd'hui.
Francois Aisbourg says despite all the faults of the G7, it is still a worthwhile exercise.
The G7, even when it doesn't deliver anything, even when it unfolds in the worst possible circumstances, like in Canada last year, it's still extremely useful because it allows the heads of state and government to have a direct feel for what the actual position of their counterparts really is. That's the sort of thing which helps reduce the scope for miscalculation.
For Scott Morrison, the G7 offers the opportunity to have a series of bilateral meetings with leaders on the sidelines. Emma Shortis says it's also a chance to strengthen Australia's position as part of the Western world's security network.
The Australian government at least will see it as important for the role that Australia plays in the kind of international security environment, because that's a key focus of the G7.
The summit will run for 3 days from Saturday. Alan Lee, SBS News.